This week, we celebrate freedom. And I say it all the time, you can't be free until you're free spiritually and naturally. You know, this week we will celebrate, this country will celebrate 242 years of freedom. As we fly the flag, let us remember what this freedom is all about. I'd like to ask us to stand and face the flag. And let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. I used to do this every day in school. How many of you did that every day in school? I wish they still did it. Are you ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Praise the Lord. In 1917, President Woodrow Wilson said this, "This flag which we honor and under which we serve is an emblem of our unity and our power, our thought and our purpose as a nation. It has no other character than that which we give it from generation to generation. The choice is ours." The American flag, it is not a symbol of perfection. No flag can be. Rather, the American flag is a symbol of freedom. Freedom to worship God as we please. Freedom to enjoy life without dictatorship and being told what to do. Yes, it's been an imperfect journey, and it's been flawed, and it's still flawed, and this country is still inadequate in many, many areas of our society. But we still must stand together and unite under God. Because without God, there is no justice. Without God, there is no freedom. Without God, there's nothing. On this week that we celebrate independence, and especially on Wednesday the 4th, let us thank God for our nation. As we gather together with family and friends, maybe sing and hear patriotic songs and have some barbecue and all the food with family and friends, let us not forget what that freedom has cost. Amen. You know, we have to realize that both spiritual actions and natural actions are necessary to maintain our freedom. Spiritually, we need to be concerned about God's blessing upon our nation. Psalms 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." The Voice translation, "The nation whose true God is the eternal is truly blessed. Fortunate are all whom he chooses to inherit his legacy." The old classified Amplified Bible said, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his inheritance." Our nation, with all of its wealth and with all of our freedoms, is because we've been blessed by God. You know, without God's blessing, there will be no freedom. There will be no wealth. I don't know what they teach in history now, but when I was in school, they taught that when the people first came here, they came in search of religious freedom. And we can clearly see that God's hand has been upon this nation. To today, though, it seems like we're in a spiritual crisis. You know, many have laid down the God-given right to call upon God and ask for his blessing in the nation. They've taken God about out of about everything that they can. They've taken the commandments off of buildings. They've refused to have nativity scenes. But I want you to realize, as a church, we must seriously pray and get on our knees. Because the nation that loses God is the nation that loses freedom. Our freedom depends upon the prayers of the church. As we celebrate our independence, one thing that should be our big concern is keeping our freedoms intact. I quoted from President Woodrow Wilson, 1917. And now, many years later, President Ronald Reagan said something that almost sounded the same. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed for them to do the same. This day, we need to recognize that our founding fathers dared to proclaim liberty. We must remember to honor all of those that have sacrificed their lives to establish freedom. Thomas Campbell said this: the patriot's blood is the seed of the freedom tree. You know, as we look around, it's obvious that the founding of this nation was to worship God, to be a place of religious freedom, to be a sending place, and it has been. America has sent more missionaries around the world than any other nation. But we need to realize that without God, it doesn't happen. God needs a people that will walk in righteousness so that he can freely move on our nation's behalf. You know, in Proverbs 14:34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I would say this: righteousness is a nation's greatest treasure. Oh, yes, we need military might. Yes, we need strong economy. Yes, we need to develop our resources and our infrastructure. Yes, we need education. Yes, we need technology. But greatest of all, we need righteousness, the righteousness of God. Right living will determine a nation's destiny. As you study the history of Israel, you can see this. When they were right with God, everything was great. When they sinned against God, everything became captivity instead of freedom. Not living righteously is not recognizing the one true God. Not recognizing God has been the downfall of many nations. The Babylonian Empire, if you want to study, I like history and I've studied a lot of history. The Medo-Persian, and then the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, they all fell because of unrighteousness and sin. If we would consider reading the first chapter of Romans and the decline of that civilization Paul describes there, they refused to glorify God. They chose idolatry over true worship of God. They practiced every form of immorality. They became violent, deceitful, and proud. And history has proven that when that happened in those nations, they all failed. Today, let us determine in our own lives to live righteously under God. You know, freedom for mankind actually is a Bible concept. It comes from the Bible. The concept of liberty and freedom is seen all the way throughout the scriptures. Adam and Eve longed for freedom from sin because they had disobeyed God's command. Israel longed to be free from their captivity in Egypt. Moses came proclaiming liberty and told Pharaoh, let my people go. Gideon, Ray was raised up to deliver Israel. David fought bravely against the Philistines to keep them from capturing Israel. While the people of Israel were in captivity in Babylonia, they longed for their homeland. During the days of Jesus, the Jews longed to be free from the Roman tyranny. Jesus himself proclaimed at the beginning of his ministry in Luke 18:19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Christ came to set us free from the rule of Satan and his tyranny. The Apostle Paul instructed us in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again unto the yoke of bondage." And then drop on down to verse 13 in that same chapter. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Freedom is something that God proclaims for every individual. However, freedom does not mean the absence of any rules or laws, some people would say. Real freedom means that certain laws and rules are put into effect to provide the greatest possibility of liberty for everybody. Real freedom always has its restraints and boundaries. In the earth, we have freedom to move, yet we are bound by the law of gravity. If we didn't have the law of gravity, those pews would be floating. I would have to hold on to my notebook because it'd be floating away, and I'd be floating all around. Hello. You know, you have the laws of gravity and physics to restrict things from happening. We have the law of God that restricts us from some things, but it leads us to true spiritual liberty and freedom. Real freedom does not destroy and take away, but it gives. Now, real freedom doesn't give you the right to intrude on somebody else and their rights. You know, any freedom is for us to enjoy under God. My freedom cannot encroach on your freedoms. Your freedom cannot encroach on my freedom. And if we learn to read the Word of God, we find out that this happens as individuals love God. They work together in love. The one thing I like about this church so much is that we're all under God, and we all serve one another, and it don't make no difference what your background is, how rich you are, how poor you are. What your color is, it don't make no difference. We're all the same and we have the same freedoms because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to give us the freedom to live and worship together without prejudice. Hallelujah. You know, Christ said that he came to set men free. He came and went to the cross. And there is, therefore, the redemptive act of God was fulfilled. And he said in John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, let me say this. There is a price to pay for freedom. Our freedom has cost us something. And I have several that I can see that are sitting in the congregation that can go back and remember World War II with me. It cost us something, but we're free to be in this church today. If it hadn't have been for the fact that we were willing to fight for our freedoms, we wouldn't be able to sit here in freedom today. You know, Christ paid the price for freedom when he died on the cross and he shed his blood. Before that, they had to sacrifice an animal every year for the covering of sin. But he went to that cross and he shed his blood once and for all for freedom. In Psalms 119:45, it says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. James 1:25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty continues in it is not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. And then again, go to John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word of God will bring us the knowledge of liberty and freedom that comes through our acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God outlines a pathway from sin and degradation. Just like the word of God is our constitution with God. We have a constitution that tells us how we can stay free. Right? This is it right here with God. This tells us how to stay free with God and worship God. God has given us the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to help us. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. You know, we can trust God and know as we follow him, he will lead us to victory and liberty. You only stay bound if you don't know Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, I'm free. No, you're not. Until you know Jesus Christ, you don't know real freedom. Thank God when you know Jesus Christ, now you become really free. Maybe you were free in the natural, but until you become free in the spiritual, you're not free. Thank God for freedom. You know, I believe that if we will continue to serve God and believe God and pray for ourselves and for our nation, I believe that we will come out on the other side victorious, no matter what people are saying or what people are doing. If we people of God will rise up and pray, God will intervene. You know, it's time that we really believe what we say we believe. We believe that when we pray that he hears us and he'll do something about it. So let's pray for our nation and believe that he'll do something about it. Amen. A fellow by the name of Mike Huckabee, y'all might know who he is. He said this, "Let us remember as people of faith that our primary mission is not to have a political ideology. It is to change the world so that every man, woman, boy, and girl can experience true freedom." And true freedom is spiritually and naturally. And it will take each of us doing our part that we maintain these freedoms, both in the natural and in the spiritual. Today, I believe that it's time that we make a new commitment to God to pray for our nation. Maybe, and I know, hey, there's a whole lot wrong with this nation. But I've traveled overseas in ministry. I spent time over there in the U.S. Army, and I can tell you one thing. It doesn't matter. With all of our imperfections and with all of our trials and our troubles, we are a long way ahead of everybody else. And I have some people sitting here today that are a Rhema people. There's Prince and Laura right there at Sardinia. There is Vidar and Catherine in Kenya. There's Brian and Adrian Jensen from the Ukraine. And they'll tell you, hey, they're there every day. They're serving in these other nations. And they can tell you that our freedom here in America, even with all of our problems, is way out in front of everybody else. Is that, if that's right, wave your hand, guys. Because they, you know, hey, I was in a country one day and they said, well, we got to get to the petrol station and fill up with fuel before 5 o'clock tonight. It was a Friday. And I said, why? They said, oh, the government just issued a deal, and they've been back broadcasting on the radio and the television that all stations would close at 5 o'clock on Friday, and they won't open again till 8 o'clock on Monday morning. I said, what? What? But you see, that's what happens when you're not free. You may think you are, but you're not. Let's stand and thank God for our freedom, both in the natural and firstly spiritually, and thank God that we are free to stand here in this church, and nobody can tell us we can't come in here and worship together side by side. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. You know, in some places, they tell you, Who can go to church and who you can sit by and who you can stand by. In here, nobody tells you. We're all in here together worshiping God because we're free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Are you excited about your freedom? On special days like this, I like to really compare freedom and talk about it. From the Bible standpoint, and I've tried to do that this morning. I trust everyone got something out of this.